We're going to dedicate the last few minutes of the hour to a kind of arms race. The weapons of choice are a little bit of imagination and an awful lot of calories. The battlegrounds are fairgrounds. Vendors at state fairs across the country are once again trying to get fairgoers to eat newer, wackier things, and almost all of them are remarkably unhealthful. In the first of two reports, Jonathan All of Iowa Public Radio takes us to the Iowa State Fair, where more than 50 different foods are sold on a stick.
I'm next to one of the many food booths here at the Iowa State Fair. This one's right outside the grandstand along the main drag through the main part of the fair. And this isn't a place to get health food.
It's tradition.
Elisa Brammer of Des Moines says eating outrageous things at the fair is a lifelong endeavor. This year, she's trying one of the new items, chocolate-covered frozen tiramisu on a stick. She says she isn't concerned about how unhealthy this snack may be.
I try not to think about that. When I'm at the fair, anything goes. Don't think about the calories. Worry about that next week when you're at the gym.
Also new at the fair this year are ground pork sliders and a hot dog in the shape of an octopus known as the Octodog. You can get some healthy food at the Iowa State Fair, but it's hard to come by. The Salad Bowl is a stand that sells healthy choices, including salad on a stick. Becky Russell of Eagle Grove is getting one, but that's not all she plans to eat today.
Oh, I'll get something later. Probably a foot-long corn dog or a bucket of cookies, pork chop on a stick.
And Russell is the only person in line at the Salad Bowl, while 40 people are waiting to get their hands on another new treat this year. Thinking the old standby, the fried Twinkie, needed a little extra punch, it's now available dipped in white chocolate, rolled in nuts, and topped with whipped cream. It's called the Twinkie Log.
So I'm going to take a bite here.
Oh my, is that good. And so bad for me.
For NPR News, I'm Jonathan All at the Iowa State Fair in Des Moines.
I'm Erica Celeste at the Indiana State Fair, where corn dogs and funnel cakes are out, and something much more decadent, the donut burger, is in. You heard right, the donut burger, a fresh patty of beef and melted cheese sandwiched between two glazed donuts. When vendor Dennis Reese first heard about the donut burger, even he thought it was over the top. But then something happened.
I seen Paula Deen do it on TV, and when she does something, you know, she can sell anything.
At 800 calories a burger, fairgoer Mike Meyer gets a couple for his family.
It's just something that sounds really good, and I wanted to give it a try.
His daughter Kayla, a toddler with blonde curls, is beyond delighted. Without using her hands, she dives face first to lick the donut burger.
All right, want to take a big bite?
Go.
The Meyers say this new delicacy has a salty sweet taste and is surprisingly not greasy. It puts them in an adventurous spirit.
We gotta try something else disgusting too. I'm gonna go with the deep fried Twinkie.
I like tingling.
There are plenty of stands to choose from. Some sell deep fried Oreos and deep fried Pepsi, even deep fried butter. That's right, butter. Dennis Reese's son, Blake, introduces a new concept.
Oh, it's pigs in the mud. It's the chocolate-covered bacon that we do.
Over by the livestock barn, pig farmer Dick Brown says he's for anything that promotes his livestock.
Well, whatever sells, you know, if it's a good market outlet, there's a lot of different avenues we can, you know, go down to, you know, sell our product.
Blake Reese agrees.
Out here, you see capitalism in action more so than anywhere else, because you have the free flow of ideas and ideas bouncing off one another.
Blake Reese calls food vendors at the fair American entrepreneurs at their best, though maybe not their healthiest. For NPR News, I'm Erica Celeste.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News. For those of you who've spent the summer trying to nurture a vegetable garden, here's a story to make you jealous. Commentator Julie Zickafoos has done her share of planting and weeding, but she is finding delight these days in plants that appear and thrive by accident.
Every time I plod out to my garden, jaw set, to pull up the nasty old green bean plants that have collapsed on the straw, their yellowed leaves riddled by bean beetles, they surprise me. They've set the table with new white blossoms, and they've made dinner for me again. And so I stay their execution and decide not to replant. Why start over with a puppy when the old dog still has spring in her step? I pick the prickly yellow beetle larvae off the leaves and toss them over the fence. I keep the plants picked clean, weeded, and mulched. They look terrible, but they keep us in beans, and that's all that matters. It's practically free gardening, if you don't count the hours spent weeding and the bales of straw bought to keep the bindweed down. You plant the seed and nurture it for a while, and then stand back and let the burgeoning vegetation do the rest. Come late summer, you take a big plastic tote out each time you visit. There's that much food flooding back into your kitchen. For the first time ever, I've kept the tomatoes tied up in their cages, and I can move among them without the pop and spurt of fruit under my bare feet. I listen to the swelling sizzle of cicadas dodging their bomber flights through the garden, hear the steady hum of crickets and katydids in the meadow, the sputtering zizz of bumblebees working the blazing zinnias. I kneel to extract a huge tomato, the size, shape, and purplish color of a human kidney, from a jumble of fragrant stalks in its cage, working it up through the thick leaves. I heft it in my hand, marveling, then pluck a basil leaf and take a bite out of its smooth purple side. I grew this tomato from a seed, saved on a paper towel from last summer's crop. I sit down in the prickly straw to consider this odd and delicious fruit. It's the size and shape of the pink Anderson beefsteak from which I gathered its seed, but it's the oddest color of purple, and the flavor is zingier. A smile spreads across my face as I realize that its other parent must be the little black crim tomatoes I grew last summer. I'd found one in a party-colored basket of heirloom cherries and saved the seed. In my palm, I'm holding a tomato that's uniquely my own, a deep maroon delight, heavy of flesh and sparse of seed, with a more complex, nuttier flavor than its pinkish parent. And it's heavy with fruit, bundles and bundles of it. Why, I could propagate it, name it anything I want, give it to special friends to grow. This is how it happens, I think. This is how brand new plant varieties come to be, in the happy accidents and the hum and bumble of bees, in a small Ohio garden, a long way from anywhere.
Commentator Julie Zickafoos lives on a nature sanctuary near Whipple, Ohio. She's the author of Letters from Eden, A Year at Home in the Woods. It's All Things Considered from NPR News.
Graduates of culinary schools usually have to prove their chops in the backs of kitchens. Now, some have found a fast track to becoming star chefs. They're starting up food trucks. Charlotte Bear of member station KPLU reports.
If you stretch your arms out, you can just about touch the walls of Skillet. The mobile kitchen is crammed into a shiny silver 1962 Airstream trailer. It heats up like an oven as three chefs scramble during the lunch rush.
I'll cut it down and we can just add it in the holes,
right?
We're almost ready.
Okay. It looks like an episode of Iron Chef in a sardine can. Not exactly where you picture a graduate of the Culinary Institute of America. Yet this is exactly what Josh Henderson had in mind when he conceived Skillet.
I was tired of working in restaurants, and I kind of wanted to do something that was a little bit more my style, which was a little chaotic, you know, and I enjoy being outside, you know, like some days we're like next to a mountain, and other days we're in the urban downtown, you know, homeless people asking us for free food.
Good thing for Henderson, foodies are willing to shell out $11 for one of his burgers. He starts with grass-fed beef and slathers it with buttery French cheese. His fresh linguine is topped with Reggiano, asparagus, and pine nuts.
You know, cooking, there's so many different ways. I mean, you can cook on a boat, you can cook in an Airstream trailer, you know, you can cook in a Michelin-starred restaurant. It really doesn't matter as long as what goes in that box is something we can be proud of.
He fills a brown to-go box to the brim with the creamy linguine so I can be the judge.
All right, let's see what this is all about.
Henderson isn't the only chef making mouth-watering cuisine in a trailer. Cooks in New York, Portland, and Los Angeles have led the way in mobile gastronomy. Now gourmet vendors are rolling out from Austin to Washington, D.C., and they're serving up everything from appetizers to desserts.
Have you guys had my ice cream before? You haven't. Okay, so I make everything from scratch.
When customers walk up to the peach and brown parfait ice cream truck, Chef Adria Shimada gives them a sample and a spiel. She says otherwise, they might expect her mint to be green and candy cane flavored.
I infuse my ice cream custard with fresh spearmint leaves. And then at the end, when I churn it, I drizzle in a warm chocolate stream into the cold custard, and it breaks up into these little flaky, light chocolate chips.
The trained pastry chef says she holds her ice cream to the same standards as a high-end French bakery. She just couldn't afford the bakery part.
The primary concern for me and focus was the quality of the product that I'm making. And having a mobile truck has really allowed me to keep that quality very high.
She says now that Parfait has built up a following, she could go the more conventional brick-and-mortar route. Other food cart chefs have recently gone down that road, but the trucks aren't going anywhere. Chefs say it's a great way to put the word on the street about their new ventures. For NPR News, I'm Charla Bear.
This is NPR News. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin. Get ready, gourmands and food gurus. TV cooking shows are about to get a little spicier.
The next Food Network star is RT.
It's wild to think that I'm the first person on the Food Network to have a focus on Indian food.
Artie Sequeira is this season's winner of The Next Food Network Star, a cooking show competition on the Food Network. The Bombay native won over the judges with her warm camera presence and unique blend of Indian and Western cuisine. Artie's new show is called Artie Party. It starts today, and she joins us now from our New York bureau. Welcome, Artie. How are you doing? Are you excited?
I am ecstatic for so many reasons. I mean, I won.
Congratulations.
I'm not going to get over that. But the fact that I'm on NPR.
Well, you're too kind.
We are geeked out.
We are thrilled to have you here. So before I talk about how you've gotten to this place in your life, which is pretty amazing, tell us what you're going to be cooking on the first show. I imagine a lot of thought went into this, right?
Yeah. You know, I really wanted the first episode of Artie Party to convey my culinary point of view, which is to take the sting and the intimidation out of Indian food. And the way that I do that is by taking really familiar American classics like a sloppy joe and wrapping it in a chicken tikka masala like sauce. So, I mean, there's nothing intimidating about a sloppy joe, but this is a different way to experience it.
How in the world do you come up with ideas like that?
I don't cook Indian food every day. And in fact, when I started to cook, which was only really 7 years ago, you know, I was trained to be a journalist just like you. And when I started cooking, I didn't start with Indian food. Indian food is hard even to an Indian. So I started with things like sloppy joes and steak and lasagna. And then I started to feel like, okay, I can put my personality in here. You know, these warm, earthy Indian spices in there. And it's a much easier than you think it is.
I want to talk about how you have come to this place. You had a YouTube channel and a blog, and all of a sudden, this has what I would imagine to be a journey that you didn't even expect at this point.
Exactly. I had always wanted to be a journalist, and all of a sudden, I just didn't have the fire to do that as much anymore. And meanwhile, I was cooking, but I didn't know how to parlay that into a career. And, you know, as an Indian immigrant whose parents had spent a lot of money on university and everything, I thought, well, I can't throw all that away. Wouldn't that be a shame to my family? So I was really lost for a number of years. And the blog gave me a sense that I had a voice and I existed. And then that led to this online cooking variety show called Artie Party that my husband shot and I did in our little kitchen in L.A.
As you mentioned, you worked in television before, right?
I did.
Did it give you a leg up in any way?
In the competition, I think having worked in the television news business, I'm used to deadlines, I'm used to intense pressure, and also it gives you perspective. Even if Bobby Flay doesn't like my food, you know, I'm not covering Katrina. This is not the end of the world, even though sometimes it really did feel like it. I think it gave me a sense of perspective.
Okay, last question. Are you going to have a dinner party this weekend to celebrate the premiere, and what are you cooking?
That's funny. You know, it was my birthday this week.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. It's been a huge week. So I'm kind of celebrated out.
Oh.
A little bit. I mean, kind of. So this weekend, I might make some ginger ice cream. A fan sent me her recipe, and I thought it sounded amazing. And watch the very first episode of Artie Party on Food Network.
Well, we will all be celebrating along with you. Artie Sequeira is this season's winner of the Next Food Network Star and the host of the new show, Artie Party, which premieres today on the Food Network. She joined us from our New York bureau. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much.